KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego Extended Studies, inspiring ordinary people to dare, dream, and do. Online videos of dreamers sharing their real-life stories, along with courses, certificate programs, and more can be explored at extendedstudies.ucsd.edu.
Hey San Diego, it's Andrew Bracken, in for Jade Hindman. Today, we speak with a San Diego author and hear about their new children's book that tells the story of how Chicano Park came to be and the community activism behind it. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. For over half a century now, Barrio Logan's Chicano Park has been a beacon for Mexican-American heritage and pride in San Diego and beyond. Its famous murals helped it to become a national landmark, and it continues to be an important symbol of Latino identity here in the region and beyond. The park and its history also serve as a reminder of the power of community action in bringing about change. The history of Chicano Park and the community effort to bring it to life is the subject of a new children's book called Barrio Rising. I'm joined now by the San Diego author behind the book, Maria Dolores Aguila. Maria, welcome to Midday Edition.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So Maria, you're from National City, not too far from Chicano Park. Can you talk about some of your childhood memories of the park?
So I live less than 5 miles away from Chicano Park. And I mean, anytime I go on the 5 freeway, I pass by it. And as a child, I would like hang out the window just to look to see, you know, what was on the murals. My father worked in the tuna canneries when they used to be in Barrio Logan, and he would tell me stories about that. And I also went to the medical clinic, the Family Heights Logan Health Center as a child. So I have a lot of, you know, roots there. And I've lived next to it my entire life. So it's always been like in the periphery of my life here in San Diego.
And did you learn about the history of the park as a child?
No.
Growing up in National City?
No, I didn't know anything about the park. I just know that the murals were there and that was it. Like, I didn't have any conception of how they had got there. And I even took Chicano studies in high school and they just never told us, you know, like, this is this amazing thing the Chicano community has accomplished. But weren't taught that. You know, we just learned things like, you know, Cesar Chavez and the Great Boycotts and stuff like that. But we never learned what was like literally in our own backyard.
So what led you to want to write about the park's history in this particular way, in a children's book specifically?
I've always been a voracious reader ever since I was a young child. Like, I just would love to lose myself in books. And one thing that I always noticed is there wasn't anybody that looked like me or my family in these books. And so you kind of get the message that maybe my story's not important. So that's why I wrote this book for children. So children that were like I was can see that they come from this long history of resistance and resilience and that their stories do matter.
So your book, it adds a fictional layer to a very true story of how Chicano Park came to be. Can you tell us more about the history of the park?
Barrio Logan, you know, it has a long history of struggle. And I think it basically starts back when they lost access to the beach and bayfront when the naval station was built. And then after that, the neighborhood was zoned from residential to industrial without knowledge of the residents. Like, they had no idea, like, why all of a sudden there was junkyards next to schools and houses and why there was heavy industry. So
And it really impacted, like, the air quality and stuff, right?
Exactly. And Barrio Logan, like National City, has one of the poorest air qualities in the region. And not just that, but also there was the expansion of the 5 freeway, the addition of the Coronado Bridge that basically broke Barrio Logan in half, right? Because now we have Barrio Logan and we have Logan Heights on the other side of the freeway. So the neighborhood had undergone a lot of, you know, suffering up until that point. And, you know, they just accepted it as progress, right? Like, this is the cost. This is just how it is, right? But they had been asking for a green space, you know, a park for the kids. So on the morning of April, you know, 1970, someone from the neighborhood, Mario Solis, he gets up and, you know, he's just going about his day and he sees these bulldozers and other earth movers underneath the bridge, and he's like, oh, wow, you know, they're building the park. And so he goes and talks to the guys, but he's like, oh, no, we're not building a park. We're going to build a California Highway Patrol substation, a police station. And they were, like, shocked, you know, because they didn't know that this was going to happen. And so one of the things that they call Mario Solis is they call him the Paul Revere of Chicano Park, because after he found this out, he started going from house to house, you know, rallying people, telling them to start going down to the construction site. He went to stores. You know, women were doing their daily shopping. They left all their stuff and they went to the construction site. And the whole community just converged on that site and they put a stop to the work that they were doing.
And another key figure in the story is Laura Rodriguez. What can you tell us about her and her role in this, you know, in the history of the park?
Laura Rodriguez was the initial inspiration for Barrio Rising. I had seen the tribute mural for Laura Rodriguez on Cesar Chavez Parkway. And when I had seen that, I was like, who is that? Like, I need to Google more information. And when I had found out about her, you know, about her life, it was so fascinating. She was born to a father who was blind, who sold newspapers. So every day before she went to school, she would walk him to downtown San Diego. He would sell newspapers. And then after school, she would, you know, pick him up and they would go home. And he was very ill. And he knew that his end was coming, and he took Laura and his sister and her sister to an orphanage in Los Angeles to leave them. And, you know, the orphanage was like, no, you know, we can't do that. So they came back home, and they were actually the Marston family, the sisters that were working in the neighborhood house at that time, like, took an interest in Laura. And when her father passed, they went to go. They, like, basically took her in as their own. And so Laura went to go live with the Marstons. And, I mean, could you imagine going from living in Barrio Logan to living with one of the most prominent families of San Diego?
Right.
Like, the difference, right? But she goes over there, and I guess she still has the barrio in her heart, because at 16, she meets a guy, and they go back to the barrio. So, you know, she does that. And, you know, she just lives her life. You know, she becomes a mother, a grandmother, and so everybody knows who she is in Barrio Logan. But also in that time, you know, Hispanic women, Latino women were kind of like expected to have a certain decorum, you know, not to be, you know, ruffling feathers and all that stuff. So the whole community is converging on the construction site. And in that moment, Doña Laura, Laura Rodriguez, she lays down in front of the earth mover. And it inspires everybody. Like, it's like it ignites the whole moment, the movement that's going on under there. And I think it just, like, resolved everyone, like, wow, this Laura is, you know, laying down in front of the earth mover. She's ready to, like, you know, give it all for this park, for our community. And it was incredible what she did.
Yeah, it's an amazing story. I mean, and another piece of this that I think comes through in the book is also that this effort to bring Chicano Park to life was not, you know, merely the act of one or two really, you know, courageous people,
yes,
but of just like the power of community,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, community is at the heart of Barrio Logan. Like, that is what the story is really about how a group of ordinary people can come together to accomplish something amazing. And not only that, they're just ordinary people. They're students, they're grandmothers, they're children, they're older people, you know? It's just regular people.
You're listening to KPBS Midday Edition. We'll be back after the break.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Maracal Design and Remodeling, helping homeowners with their home remodeling needs. From ADUs to custom kitchen remodels and room additions, Maracal Design and Remodeling designs and builds your dream home. Learn more at trustyourhometous.com.
Welcome back to Midday Edition on KPBS. We continue now our conversation with author Maria Dolores Aguila about her new book, Barrio Rising. And so the book centers on a little girl named Elena and her dream for a park. Can you tell us more about her and, you know, her role in this story?
So the book is told from the point of view of Elena, just because I wanted her perspective of being an innocent child. Like, she's, you know, she sees the bulldozer, she's excited for a park, and then, you know, how she feels when she finds out it's not a park and how she has to make a decision of how she's going to participate in this takeover, you know. Thinking of my own children, I don't know if they would see that and be like, oh, we want to go to a park and, you know, protest. So I think she acts as an avatar for readers to step into this experience that might be different from their own and make that leap of bravery in a way that maybe they can transfer that to a different aspect in their own life.
So I want to turn to you and your connection here. I mean, earlier you mentioned your love of literature came
mm-hmm.
early.
Yes.
Can you talk about how you discovered books and how you made that, you know, how you discovered that love as a child?
You know, I can't even think of a time when I didn't love books, because when I couldn't read, I would make my mom read to me, and I would make her read the same books over and over until, like, I had memorized it or we moved on to something else. I have always loved books. There's nothing like losing yourself inside a book. Like, I can be in my house in National City, you know, growing up in a low-income family. My father was a construction worker. My mother was a housekeeper. You know, we didn't have family vacations. We didn't get to go to any nice place. But I could go to a book, and I could travel to a completely different time and place in a book. So I've always loved reading. However, you know, like I mentioned earlier, I never really saw anybody like myself in a book. And it wasn't until I was in seventh grade and we read The House on Mango Street by Sandra Cisneros that I actually read a protagonist with a Chicana, you know, with a Chicana protagonist. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, it was such an incredible moment being seen. Mm-hmm. You know, and I just remember that feeling. And I was like, man, one day I'm going to make someone feel seen too.
Yeah. So how did that transition? I mean, it's one thing to, like, mm-hmm. you know, find passion for reading. Mm-hmm. But when did you decide, no, I want to tell these stories too? Like, how did that come about?
I had decided very early, at 10, I was like, okay, I'm fixing this problem in representation. I'm going to go ahead and write my novel, right? And so, you know, I set out to do
it. At 10?
Yes, at 10. And I tried, but of course, like I mentioned, I come from a family where there was no one that had a creative career that I could kind of see what that trajectory would look like. So for a long time, it was just a dream that I had in my back pocket, but it wasn't anything that I actually knew actionable steps to take. It wasn't until I had my children and I realized I'm raising these little people and I'm raising them, you know, I'm telling them, you have dreams, like, you're going to find them and you're going to want to accomplish them. But how am I going to encourage them to do something when I myself am not doing it? So it kind of sharpened my focus. And after my second son was born and he was a year old, I was like, okay, we're going to figure out how these books come to be. Like, I wrote a manuscript, I joined critique groups, I started going to workshops, you know, and I started sending work out and I started getting rejected, but I kept at it.
I mean, that's amazing. Trying to write at 10, like, that's just, yeah, that's incredible. So, you know, earlier you talked about sort of like, you know, the importance of reading the Cisneros book and mm-hmm. finding stories of, you know, Chicano stories.
Yes.
You know, how do you think that landscape has changed since you were a child in terms of, I mean, are you seeing more Chicano representation in literature, in culture at large than you did as a child?
Definitely. Like I said, I didn't get to see myself in a book until I was in seventh grade, whereas my kids have seen themselves since they were born. You know, when other people, like, you know, are pregnant, they start buying baby clothes. I started buying books. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to share my love of books with my kids. Like, so there is so much more representation than there was when I was a kid. However, now we're dealing with book bans, right? Because that's something that's kind of affecting the landscape. You know, sometimes people don't want to bring a book into a library because it might be challenged or there might be problems. And it's just easier to avoid the controversy than to go up against it. So it's better now, but there's also new challenges.
And one thing that you've made a priority of, you know, you do these visits, these free school visits
yes.
for Title I schools specifically. Mm-hmm. Can you talk more about that and why that's been important for you?
That is so important to me because I was once that child in a Title I school. And like I said, I didn't try to be a writer because I didn't know anyone who was in a creative career. So I firmly believe you can't be what you don't see. So I want to go to these schools and, you know, talk to these children and encourage them to follow their dreams. That every single person has a unique story that only they can tell. But sometimes it just needs a little bit help to get out of there. And I hope I can be that spark to those children in Title I schools like I was to help them tell their own stories.
And writing about the people of Barrio Logan, I think this is on the back cover of your book, you say that the struggle for equity continues.
Yes.
Can you talk more about where, you know, where the barrio is today and some of the challenges that you see it facing?
Yes. So Barrio Logan still faces with the issue of air quality. It has one of the worst air qualities in the region. But also they're facing gentrification. The rent is very high. People that were born there are having trouble, you know, staying in the place where they were born. So those are two issues that they're still facing today. And along with access to the beach and bayfront, they don't have, you know, equitable access as other communities do.
So finally, what do you hope young readers specifically take away from the book?
I want young readers to leave Barrio Rising with a sense that they have power within themselves to accomplish something meaningful in their communities. It might not look exactly like what Elena did in the book, but it can be applied to something different. I want them to feel seen and appreciated for who they are. Because sometimes when you live in a community like Elena does, like I do, sometimes you get the sense that people don't care, that, you know, you're not seen. And I hope that they feel seen from the book.
Maria Dolores Aguila's new children's book is called Barrio Rising, The Protest That Built Chicano Park. She'll be celebrating the launch of the book at Libalula Books tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. You can find more details on our website at kpbs.org. Maria, thanks so much for sharing more about the book, and congratulations.
Thank you so much for having me.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego County Toyota Dealers, presenting the new 2025 Camry with refined design and performance. See your local Toyota dealer to learn about all the benefits the new 2025 Camry offers. The San Diego County Toyota Dealers. We make it easy.